Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Vil. We're just excited that even though we're going through so much this year for 2020, that we can able to be thankful. And as we mentioned last week, that this is a two-part episode where we're going to give thanks, even though 2020 has been dim and 2020 has been it's been such a hard, trying year for so many, but yet we can able to find ways to be thankful. And we're just going to continue this conversation. Vilma, do you want to proceed?
Yes. And I do agree with you. But as we had said in our previous, in the part one of this show, there is so much to be thankful for. And again, I just want to thank our previous guests who were on, who, you know, shared so much and saw a new perspective on thankfulness by what they shared. And for today, we're going to continue giving thanks, deliberately finding things to be thankful for. And we have a couple that will be with us today who will share their aspect or their perspective on giving thanks in this season. And on behalf of my co-hosts, I would like to welcome Richard and Paula Rutledge to our show and just have them share with us this season, what it means to them and things that they are grateful or thankful for. Welcome, Rich and Paula.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, I'll just like to start out by saying that when I think of this season and I think of the general environment that we're living in as it relates to the pandemic, and I look at when we first started, when we first heard the news of this COVID virus that we have and the measures that were put in place in terms of social isolation. And as the months went by, leading up to where we are now and the changes and the confusion about the virus, how it spread and so forth, and the panic and all of that, here we are, November, Thanksgiving, and I can't help but look back and think that, my God, you know, there is a lot to give God thanks for in terms of, number one, being alive. Number two, looking back at how many people that I know whose family were affected by COVID, some people even close to home, some people, they lost loved ones. Some people have loved ones currently in hospital. And it goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But more specifically, I want to say how grateful I am that none of my family, not even close family, were touched by COVID. Also, I am thankful that we are in good health. Right now, we can look back and say that, you know, there wasn't a time that we were fearful in the sense that, oh my goodness, I heard that so-and-so had COVID. And so, you know, that in and of itself is something that we are totally grateful for. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how far you want me or more or specific, because there are a couple of things that has happened in our lives with our children that I am so thankful of. But I'll pause at this moment. And
now you can go ahead and share what you want pertaining to be thankful for. We just want the audience to know that there's reasons why one could be thankful through this time. And no matter what the situation is, God is able and God is faithful.
Yes. So I'll continue on with the story. So our son, Zach, he's 7 years old. In August, during all of this pandemic, it was on a Sunday, and I remember clearly, was it August the 2nd, Rich?
Yeah.
Yes, August the 2nd. It was a Sunday. We were upstairs trying to get ready, and I heard this piercing scream, and it's one of those screams that made you stop in your track. And I heard the scream. Mm-hmm. I dropped everything and I rushed downstairs, and my son was running up towards me upstairs, and there was blood all over the place, squirting all over the place. Come to find out that he accidentally cut off a part of his finger.
Oh, wow.
In that moment. Yeah, it fell off. It was completely off. Mm. And in that moment, you know, the nurse in me went into action. Mm-hmm. You know, grab him, get ice back, you know, try to stop the bleeding. And, you know, it was just like doing things as a nurse, not as a mom, because as a mom, I would be weeping when I look back, So anyway, we got him together. Rick went downstairs. We got dressed, tried to stop the bleeding. Rick picked up the half of the finger that was there, placed it in ice. We drove directly to the emergency that was nearby. Mm-hmm. When we got to the emergency, they evaluated the situation. Mind you, it was a Sunday, and they said, you know, we don't have anyone here at Christiana nor at Nemours. After they made a call, we don't have anyone that is skilled or on call to deal with the situation, so we're going to refer you to CHOPS, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And so the saga continues. We left there, drove to CHOPS. They were waiting for us. And, you know, I'll pause to say that even in the midst of that, God prepared the best surgeon, the best hand surgeon for our son. You know, people may say that it so happened, but no. Mm-hmm. I choose to believe that God, he knows all things. He knew this was going to happen. And so he made sure that Dr. Lee, mm-hmm. the hand surgeon, and she's rated as the top hand surgeon. And when we researched her afterwards, she was the one who dealt in surgery relating to the nerve, relating to the tiny blood vessel. And so she was on call. Wow. She was there in the hospital, and she prepared everything for us, waiting for us. We got there. They checked him as a way of admission, did his COVID test, and he went into surgery for over 7 hours.
Wow.
And when I think about, you know, the intricacy of such a surgery, because she had to attach the tiny blood vessel, she had to attach nerve endings, she had to do all of that. You know, so she did that, and everything went well in terms of enduring the anesthesia for 7 hours and waking up with no residual damage. Because sometimes just going under, you know, you never know how a person may react to it, but he came out of it well. Mm-hmm. That was just the beginning. You know, and then after that, we stayed there for 7 days in the PICU. They wanted to make sure that there was blood flow from the piece that was attached mm-hmm. to the finger and the rest of the system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at one point, they used what's called a Doppler, which is able to identify blood flow by way of sound. So it's like an ultrasound device that you place on the finger. And, you know, we kind of hold our breath every time the nurse would come in to see if we hear that sound. There was a day that they came in and there was no sound indicating that there was no blood flow to the finger, the part of the finger. So they decided that, okay, we'll send you home, come back, and we'll remove the part of the finger. And Rich, they decided, you know, it's a child thinking of the developmental stage and preparing the child for what is to happen. And they came in and they said that, you know, we're going to get someone to explain to Zach what's going to happen when he comes back, that they're going to remove the finger, lose it, etc. And right away, my husband interjected and said, no, please don't tell him that. We're going to pray and see what God will do. Mm-hmm. So we went home. Rich, you want to pick up on this part of it?
Go.
We went home. He said, keep going. We went home and he reached out to prayer groups and I reached out to my sister, my other friends and relative, and got the prayer chain going, because we said we got this far, God provided this surgeon and all of that, and now we're not going to take this line down. So we said, don't tell him anything. We'll go home. Went home and people were praying. Mm-hmm. We went back the following week, got to the hospital. They removed the initial dressing and we waited for the doctor to come in. The surgeon came in with another surgeon that was there. So I think he was an attendant, and the attendant looked at the finger and, you know, just looking at it, there was no sign of life. The finger that was attached was completely black. There was no indication that there was any blood flow. But standing on our faith, my husband said, you know, they were using the Doppler in the hospital. Why don't you get the Doppler? Because we believe that, you know, there was blood flow. That's what we were praying about. Mm-hmm. And he went and said, okay, you know, I'll just to satisfy you, I'll go ahead and I'll get the Doppler. Mm-hmm. By this time, the surgeon came in, they got the Doppler, and he placed it on the finger. But before I even go there, Vivian and Vilma, I want to say that what we saw that gave us hope was a small, tiny little area of pink. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know, this is hope. Even in the evidence that was presented, the finger was completely black. Mm-hmm. There was no life, but there was this little ray of hope, and it represented itself in the form of a small little pink area. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, oh my goodness. So they got the Doppler, put it on the finger, and sure enough, it indicated that there was life. Hallelujah.
Wow. Amazing.
So even through that time, God was faithful. I like that little thing that you said about that little pink that just gave you that little hope that keep you going. And God just gave you that little light to show you that he is actually still working. So that's just awesome. That's just awesome.
Yes.
I'm sorry I cut you off.
So how did the doctors react?
Okay, so the attendant, he kind of looked like his eyes were wide open, and the doctor in charge, the surgeon, he said, yeah, that's all. But let me back up for a minute, because this will tie into the doctor's reaction. So before we left, we asked the doctor, are you sure about this? There's no hope. And the final thing I recall him saying is, you know, one in, and I forgot the number that he quoted, we see, you know, they come back and there is the reestablishment of blood flow. And he said, well, you know, miracles could happen. And I said to him, yes, miracles could happen. And at that time, you know, we looked at each other in the eye. So when he discovered that there was life in the finger, we looked at each other again, and there was a silent message that was communicating. And I had the smile and I just nodded, you know, indicating, remember you said miracle could happen? Mm-hmm. This is it. Mm-hmm. So he was like, really, his eyes lit up. Mm-hmm. I saw that and he said, wow, okay, there is life. So let's just keep, put the dressing back on and let it, you know, come back in a couple of weeks and let's see what, you know, what takes place. And we made frequent trips, and over the time, more and more of the finger was perfused in terms of blood flow. You could see that actually there was indeed life. Mm. And you know, the nail bed, we saw that part of it, it got pink. But at the very end, there was this stubborn little black tip at the end of it that is called eschar, for those of your viewers or listeners that are in the medical field. This eschar tissue is a black piece of tissue devoid of any blood flow. And so that had to be removed. The long and short of the story is we had to go back because that eschar had to be removed. And to God be the glory, they removed the top part of the tip of the finger, and it's healing quite nicely. Part of it was lost, but, you know, the actual part that was reattached wasn't altogether loss. There's still part of it. There is blood flow. And thanks be to God, it's healing well. So that's something, looking back from when it started, the journey that we went through, and thinking about where we are at today. Glory to God. All praise to the Father for his faithfulness, because he still has a part of his finger.
Amen. Amen. That's a great Thanksgiving. What do you think, Bevelin?
Yes, it is. It's very encouraging and very well that God is still faithful. He's still working through this time and through this year. And that's just amazing, because I could imagine as a mother, you hear that noise. And I too almost chopped my finger off. So I know that's painful. And then hearing as a mother, you're trying to help your son. You have to go from one hospital to the next. But she said that, you know, her nurse kicked in, and I'm glad it did, because, you know, I would have been like freaking out and trying to figure out what to do. But even though God kept it through and through, I'm thankful for that too. And I'm just excited about, you know, what God just did in her life and in her family. That's just awesome.
Amen. You know, one of the things that really caught my attention was when she said that little pink,
yes,
that was a sign of hope. Mm-hmm. And I remember Elisha. When Elisha was praying for rain, mm-hmm, with his servant, and he kept telling him, go outside and look. So each time they looked at the finger, it was like the servant going out to look. And when finally he said, I see a cloud gathered, looking like as small as a man's hand. Mm-hmm. And Elisha knew right away there was hope. Mm-hmm. And he said, saddle the horses, let's go, it's gonna rain. And this to me shows their faith. They saw the pink and they knew it was coming. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Amen. That is just really, really awesome. Mm-hmm. Really, really awesome.
And a good testimony for those who are thinking, you know, God, where are you? Because people are asking that question. God, where are you? Are you here? Are you with us? But then the thing is, we have to remember that he's always here and he's always mindful of us, you know. And you know, some people say they've never seen a miracle, but you actually saw a miracle right in front of you, Paula. And that's just awesome.
Amen.
Amen. So let me bring your husband in. How did you feel about all this?
How did I feel about all of that incident?
Yes, and you played a role because you stood. You said, don't say anything to him. Don't tell him that. Mm-hmm. You know, some people would be like, okay, let's hear how they're going to tell him. But you stood there and you said, no. It's like, I'm not receiving anything negative speaking to him or into his life. So, you know, I see your role as that covering, as that intercessor who says, no, back up. You want to tell us what was going through your mind at that time?
Well, we wanted to go home. We were in the hospital for 6 days, day and night, switching off back and forth. And it was a very strange time. There was a tornado at our home at the time, and things were all tossed around and disheveled. And we just wanted to go home. And my thought was, regardless of whatever's going to happen, I wanted Zach to have the opportunity to have a good weekend and to not be believing that this was going to be the outcome. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to plant in his brain because then, you know, we can create what we believe, mm-hmm. right? What he believes is going to happen is self-fulfilling prophecy. And I didn't want him to leave there sad. So, but I also truly believe that, God was in charge throughout this whole experience. But I don't want to go into too much more detail on this event. It's been a long year. There's been a lot of things that's happened mm-hmm. that I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, my memory of this event, there's several things. I really felt like this idea, you know, we hear the slogan, not the slogan, but we hear the words, whose report will you believe? You know, and I think about how this society has elevated certain occupations as authorities. Mm-hmm. You know, the doctors have total authority in that hospital. What they say is going to happen, everybody moves as if that's what's going to happen. And, you know, we were grateful because we went to one of the best hospitals in the world, mm-hmm. the Children's Hospital in Philadelphia for children, you know, and they had everything set up for him. But yet what they were doing was based upon, you know, what they've learned and what they believe, but not the authority of God. And, we were praying. And I felt there was a level of spiritual warfare, not in that the enemy as much as defeating this stronghold of authority, not defeating, but, you know, in my conversation with them, I was just trying to get them to see anything is possible. Mm-hmm. You know, what you believe is going to happen is a possibility. It's a outcome, but there are other possibilities without getting into a struggle. But I think for me, you know, when I think back to that experience, what comes up in my system, in my nervous system, in my memory, is the horrific screams. And it just reminds me of life can change in an instant. You know, in an instant, your whole reality changes. And I think it's been a struggle for me personally, because that those screams tapped into other memories that I have of bad memories of life changing in an instant. Mm-hmm. And my nervous system, really my nerves being raw, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know how to describe it anymore, but like my nerves are just, it's kind of like the scratching on a blackboard, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It unveiled, it took the lid off of that pot where those nerves lie. So mm-hmm. for me, you know, throughout this process, it's been a journey of getting back to a peaceful place. Mm. So my gratitude, getting back to the theme of this call, is just that, you know, life is uncertain, mm-hmm. you know, and thank God we have a God, you know, who walks us through the valley of the shadow of death, who walks us through who is faithful, who's been there, you know, in the high, in the valleys, on the mountains, in the valley. He's a God of the valley, right? So that, you know, this journey with Zach, you know, has been one of just realizing, you know, in these moments when, for me, I'll describe it as in these moments when we're exposed to the reality of that anything is possible, even on the negative arena, it seems like one of the, I don't want to say benefits, but one of the things that happens is we realize that God is really close. Mm-hmm. He's right there. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so busy. We go through lives. We think we're making things happen. And, you know, we come to God when we decide to come to God. But when, you know, as soon as this happened, our whole priorities, our whole week changed, mm-hmm. our whole schedule changed. Mm-hmm. We're in the hospital. You know, we're shifting off. It's all these appointments, all these things that were so important are now on the back burner. Mm-hmm. Crisis calls the priority of life and health and living to the forefront. And you realize God was always right there with you. You know, he's carrying you. You think you're walking, but he's carrying you. So,
absolutely.
So it enriches your faith in a unique way, you know, in a way that we wish we didn't have to go through. But Christ tells us this is part of the deal. You know, don't think it's strange, right? Mm-hmm. So we say we want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, something has to die to be resurrected. But don't get me started. I think, you know, this year it's been...
That's for another show, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's a sermon for another day. So, you know, it's been a year of, I believe, just closeness. You know, we've been living together and seeing each other. And we're still busy, so we don't spend as much time together as you think you would under these circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's been an interesting year with all three of us spending so much time in the house. And, you know, we started out really intentionally walking, and I was in great shape. And now, you know, I think this event really got us off of this, got us off of the schedule. And and I think, you know, I gotta get back to that. I was joking with a friend of mine saying every day I'm gaining a little bit more weight every day, and I'm more at risk. But anyway, for me, this year, you know, my wife and I, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. You know, we started a little Bible study on a Thursday night, and that's been a blessing. And regardless of what's going on that week, we got to pause and take that moment to hear from the Lord and share. And that's a blessing. I'm grateful for what I perceive as a shaking going on in the earth. And, you know, I think I won't say it's long overdue. It's right on time. There's some things that really need to be reconstructed, reattached. Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful that we're going to move into a new era, you know, where some institutional racism, some big things that we've come to accept we'll leave behind in 2020, right. You know, as we move forward.
Amen.
So,
thank you.
So, yeah. Go ahead, Velma.
I was saying, you know, thank you for bringing your perspective. And yes, I'm grateful too for what I see happening through God's hand in our society and in the world. but you had a thought that you were going to say something else. But after you say that, I want you guys to pick up on another event that came along in your life. So you can finish your thought, and then I have another thing that I want you to share with our audience of, you know, the reason to be thankful with your older daughter. And again, that nurse piece of her mom, you know, picking up what was happening and could direct her to go see the doctor. So you're going to finish what you were saying, and then Paula, you can come back in and share that other very powerful story, not only of your thankfulness, but also to make others aware of, you know, certain things to look for when it's happening and what they need to do.
That was about the second question, what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, this isn't regard. When I think of Thanksgiving, I actually think of my oldest daughter, whose birthday is tomorrow. She was born the day after Thanksgiving. So, you know, I jumped right in on the Zach question and didn't really get into, you know, being thankful for family and all of that. But Velma, were you asking me to continue on?
Well, yeah, you can continue, but I also want your wife to share the story about her daughter who, about her calf pain. Because
okay.
It's important for our audience to hear this and to be alert to certain things, what they should do.
Right. Okay, I'll give the microphone as it is over to her in a second. One thing I wanted to say was, you know, this idea of miracles is something that I'd like to put on the record, for lack of a better word. I think, you know, we take life for granted, but life itself is a miracle. Mm-hmm. You know, our relationship with Jesus Christ is supernatural. But we look at the supernatural as being something above and beyond everyday life, you know, the miracle of breath, the breath in our lungs. I mean, like we say, we repeat some things over and over again, and they kind of lose their meaning, you know. But the gift of life itself, you know, we can't even fathom. I like to say we don't know when we were born, and we don't know when we're dying. So why do we think we own what's in between, right? Life is a miracle. Everything is, you know, so I think it's a season for me, and I hope that the idea will spread, you know, that anything is possible, and we've got to come out of these strongholds that claim authority and govern our thought processes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, picking up with the gratefulness and gratitude and thankfulness, as it relates to this season, you know, when we thought that, everything was going well, you know, we're on a path. So during that time as well, my daughter gave birth. She gave birth to a little baby boy, and this was in March. And after she gave birth, you know, she did well. Baby was growing well. And maybe 7 months after her delivery, she was having some issues, you know, and she kept going to the doctor back and forth. And anyway, to segue into this testimony of gratitude to God, 3 weeks ago, she called me and she said, "Mom, you know, let me back up before that. So the plan was they were going to do surgery because they thought that there was something remaining in her uterus that was causing heavy bleeding. So they wanted to take her to surgery. So they were planning for surgery and, you know, we were prepping for that. And she called me probably about two weeks ago. And she said, Mom, my leg is hurting. And right away, you know, the red flag went up from my nursing background. Okay, she just gave birth. She has calf pain. So then I began to question her, you know, what does the pain feel like? If you flex your feet forward, like you're touching the sky, does it hurt? Does it feel warm to the touch? Is there any redness? You know, going through the signs and symptoms of a potential DVT or deep vein thrombosis. And so she said, oh my goodness. So I said, flex your feet up, your toes towards your knee. She flexed her feet and said, ouch, this hurts. So I said, you know what, Jessica, go to the hospital right now so that they can evaluate you. And she said, okay, let me just do it. I said, no. Drop everything and go to the hospital, go to the ER. He said, okay. Went to the ER. We kept texting because, you know, social distancing, they won't allow anybody to go in with them and so forth. So she went in and I started praying because in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my God, she just gave birth. The risk for clot exists. And, you know, sure enough, they did the test and came back stating that she had a clot in her calf. So I text her, you know, she texts back, try to call her. She texts back with the a sad face, like she couldn't even talk. She texts back a sad face indicating that the news wasn't good. So right away, again, you know, started praying. And I told her, you know, everything's going to be fine. Just pray and trust God. So then, you know, the other issue that they were prepping her for surgery for escalated. So now, you know, we have these two issues going on. And I remember years ago, I'm going to divert for a second. I remember years ago, there was this very close friend of Vilma's that helped her in one of the programs she had. And she had a blood clot, didn't recognize what it was, and ended up at the hospital dying as a result of that. She was pregnant as well. And her baby didn't make it because the clot dislodged and went to her, became an emboli or a traveling clot and lodged in her lung and caused her demise. You know, so all of this is going on in my head. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know. So when she got to the hospital, they discovered that the clot was there and they started treatment. You know, I started, you know, praising God and thanking God that it was caught. Then it was time for surgery. And, you know, God, I want to say that our God is faithful. God is indeed faithful, because if she had not reached out to me, right, she hadn't gone to the hospital when she did, who knows what would have happened. But God, she said, Mom, this is what's going on. But God, I said, go to the hospital, Jessica, let them check it out. You know, and it's all about God. It's all about God. It's all about the fact that, you know, I chose to be a nurse. He gave me the knowledge. He gave me the ability to identify certain symptoms and, you know, what to say then. Because I, being a nurse, I could probably have said, oh, you know, just put your feet up, you're on your feet all day and so forth. But he directed me. Right. He directed me, you know. And she went, they discovered, they put her on Eliquis, which is a medicine that helps to thin the blood to prevent any further buildup of clot. She had her surgery, which was nerve-wracking for us. But, you know, we saw the faithfulness of God with our son. He was faithful. It's the same God. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, we prayed. And she came out of surgery. And praise be to God. She is doing well. We're together for Thanksgiving with the baby, with the family. And to God be the glory. To God be the glory.
Amen.
And she made some wonderful pies to bless us on Thanksgiving.
Wonderful, wonderful. That is so amazing. And for those of you who are listening, you know, you look back and you're probably looking at your life right now and you're like, I can't get together with my family. I can't have that big meal I used to have. But look back, starting from the month of January. As a matter of fact, starting from the first day of January. And I want you to get a piece of paper and I want you to write down all the good things that you have seen. And Rich mentioned about, you know, even the air in your lungs that you're breathing, and write them down on a piece of paper. And then just put it beside, okay, COVID-19, having to wear a mask everywhere that I go, social distancing, not being able to have the big Thanksgiving I usually have, and see how the good things far outweighs the little inconveniences mm-hmm. that you are experiencing. Mm-hmm. And notice how good God is, and that you do also have something to be grateful and to be thankful for. It may not be as earth-shattering as what our guests share, but you are thankful for something. There may be less chairs around your table, but the chairs are not less because those people are dead. They are less because they are gathering in a different location. So be thankful.
Amen. Amen. So anything else you guys want to share? I know those two were very traumatic. And that's awesome testimony, and I'm sure definitely someone, I myself was encouraged by your story and to hear how God has really brought you guys through. Like I said earlier, I have a headache, but I got pepped up just hearing your conversation. So I'm very thankful for that in a sense, because really, you know, my head was like, oh, but you know, I just got encouraged while hearing you guys. And of course, we always love having Paula and her husband on because they are so insightful on so many different things. So I'm just excited to hear that God is so faithful and God is still in your life and continue working in your lives. And I'm just excited for what he's about to do in your 2021, especially with the Bible study, and sound like your husband's ready to preach. So what else are you guys thankful for?
Oh my goodness. You know, that is quite a bit that we said before. You know, the other thing is being able to share with others. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that we're able to share today with others what God has done in our life, or testimony. So that, as you said before, you know, it's the same God. It's the same God. He's no respecter of person. Right. You know, and no matter what it is that you're going through, just remember, he always gives you that little ray of hope. In our case, it was that little air of pinkness, very tiny. You had to look twice to see it. But it was there, and he does that. He gives us that little light, that hope. And when you see it, recognize that that's what it is, and grab a hold of it so that as you do so, it can enlarge in terms of your faith and what God is able to do. And the other thing I just want to say is that God is always showing us that little area of light, that little area of hope, of what is to come or what can be. So recognize it, hold on to it, and watch it enlarge into a miracle, or watch it enlarge into what God is capable of doing in your life. And I'm just so thankful that we have a God who walks with us all the times, even though we don't feel like he's there, but he's always there. He's Amen. Always there.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, I think in conclusion, we are concluding, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, preacher.
I'm going to bring it into more landing now. In conclusion, though, I think that, you know, as I was saying, on a more global scale of what's going on in the world with the shaking, I think this is a wonderful season to let our light shine, you know. And as you're doing here, we're thankful that you've stepped out on faith and created a forum to share testimonies, because I believe that's the basis of how our faith is supposed to be spread, to make God come alive in people's ears and in their hearts by sharing the power of our testimonies. So I'm grateful, and I just want to encourage the both of you to keep the faith, keep working, keep opening up this forum for people to share, because I think this is the heart of what I'm going to call, I don't want to call it the new church, but the next stage,
yes.
You know, where there's going to be more testimony shared, less preaching, and more testimonies and more accounts of what God is doing, because God is alive and well, and he's working in our lives, and we need to let that people know that they can have him. They need to just ask and receive. Mm-hmm. So we will pray for him to use this forum and to continue to use you guys mightily. Bless you. Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I hope you wanted to give a shout out to your daughter for her birthday. Anyway.
Anyway. God has blessed her mightily. She's having a wonderful year.
Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys. Like I said, it's always awesome to have you both on. Either it's together or separate. You guys are just an awesome couple. And we so much appreciate you both. Well, thank you, and happy Thanksgiving, even though it was yesterday, and happy Thanksgiving to our audience. We appreciate you. We love you. We thank you for being with us, and have a blessed day. God bless. This is, once again, Life Chat with Viv and Vil.
Bye.